Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Well, good morning.
Morning.
It's still winter, isn't it? It's cold and grey.
Yeah, it's got a bit fresh the last couple of days, hasn't it?
Not
unpleasant.
We're starting out from Paul's house and we're going to go up there. There's a path near here I want to try.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently it's an old railway that's been converted.
Is it really?
Yeah.
That sounds quite convenient.
It's called the Parkland Walk.
That seems like it might be quite a nice way of getting to Highgate Wood.
Oh, that's a good idea. We could go around Highgate Wood.
Let's try it and see what happens.
You know,
who knows? The map is not the territory.
That's right. And stick with the plans. Everyone wants to go to the party. No one wants to wait for the...
There will be an adventure. And you've got a bit of a... It's a bit of a busy day for you, isn't it?
Well, do you know what? It's a very exciting day.
Yeah.
Because my firstborn, the mighty Bud...
Yeah.
He's 18 today.
Wow.
Happy birthday.
Wow. Yeah. So, brilliant. So lovely.
Incredible.
Oh, I just think it's great and so nice to, you know, to give someone... We always talk about how presents are so nice, so representative, you know?
Yeah.
I hope that he felt seen today as we got him a chess set that's a replica of the Lewis chess set, you know?
All right, okay.
The famous historical one. And we got him an oboe because he's about to get his grade 8, so he's always, you know...
Incredible. Awesome.
Mind you, an oboe is about the same price as a small family car. So,
yeah,
happy birthday, mate.
Yeah, I hope you feel seen. You've seen this bank statement. Framed. Oh, amazing. 18.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a... It's one of those, isn't it, for a parent as well, isn't it? I can't believe he's 18 sort of thing.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I think also, as it's becoming clear in our house... He's the steady sanguine one, so we'll go, oh yeah, he's 18.
Right.
It's really just a difference on paper, no real change there. And then it'll happen with Daisy and she'll go, she'll change heads overnight and disappear. Yeah. Oh, it all happened so fast. How about you? How's your week?
It's been good. Yeah, I've just been busy. I did a gig last night.
Where was that? What was
it? It was near...
Tell it.
It was in Solihull. So it's a bit of a late night. So it was one of those gigs that was just amazing. It was just a village hall. It feels like, for me, I've reached the sort of...
It wasn't for Harvey Hawkins, was it?
Yes, it was, yeah.
Yeah, I'm doing a gig for him tonight.
Noel Village Hall or whatever.
The fact that I got the promoter from Paul's description of the gig kind of tells you what lovely gigs they are, really.
Well, it's kind of like, obviously, as you get a bit older as a comic, it's like some guys do the cruises. I don't want to do the cruises.
Yeah.
Some guys do corporates. I'm not really suitable for corporates. I don't get booked for many. And now I just sort of say, unless you're paying me crazy money, I'm not going to do them.
Yeah.
So I don't do any corporates.
Come on, guys. Where's that crazy money?
Yeah. And, but I am loving the village hall circuit.
Yeah, yeah.
And let's face it, there's a lot of village halls in the country.
Well, it's a demographic thing as well, isn't it? We're saying that comedy's come back. post-lockdown, people are very directional. They love their comedy. And when it comes down to it, you know, reflection on you or us, but you get grown-ups. You get a grown-up crowd.
Yeah,
it's old people settled. Not old people, older people.
Yeah.
And they know, they've been to comedy before.
Yeah.
They sell the place out. They all know each other.
Yes.
They're just kind of 10% up the road of being relaxed, yes, wanting it to be good, having a basic frame of reference that you can tap into.
Yeah, it's sort
they're,
of...
They're ideal audiences.
It's amazing. They're sort of... Obviously, it's area-dependent, but they do seem a bit kind of friendlier, sort of upper-working, lower-middle-classy, less pretentious.
Yeah,
I
yeah.
don't know, there's something about it that I mean, it was just... It was just a really good gig last night. You know,
it was like distracting as a man came the other way wearing a headband and their AirPods and chatting to someone on the phone as a toddler cried into the trees as two mums with other babies
gazed in awe at these idiots with headsets.
Yeah, that's right. It was really all happening.
Yeah.
10 square feet of park and walk with all of human life is here.
I do.
So who else was on? Who other
quite was to be honest, I don't really know. This fella called Dave Twentyman was comparing.
Right, yeah, I know.
It was lovely. And then there was a guy on before me whose name temporarily escapes me. And Joseph Enright was on first.
Yes.
So, you know, a nice quality bill.
Yeah, yeah.
If I said to him this morning, because he emailed me, just saying, you know, invoices in the post, whatever.
Yeah.
And said, if I could just gig for you 3 times a week, everything would be lovely. Do you know?
Yeah.
But of course you'd have to live there, and it is a bit of travelling.
He's only got about 6 gigs.
Yeah.
But it is. It's a nice treat sprinkled through once a year.
Yeah. And how about you? What have you been up to?
Oh, yesterday I did Steve and Max Round Table.
Oh, right.
Which is always a pleasure, you know.
Yeah.
Steve's an old friend now, and I love talking about the music, and in fact the actual music end of things is interesting, because I realise now that I'm just much more engaged with and clued up on new music releases,
right,
than I would have been when I first started to do that show.
Right, okay. So it forces you to sort of keep abreast of it a little bit.
Yeah, well, I used to just turn up and enjoy talking about it, but now since I've started writing about running, listening to music, collecting more and more songs to run to, and doing my Running Tracks radio hour.
Yeah.
You know, we're reviewing new records, and
that's great.
I'd already heard two of them.
Yeah, that's
without
fantastic.
You know what I mean? So
that's fantastic.
I mean, it's, just like,
yeah.
Oh, it's good for my imposter syndrome, as I puts inverted commas in the air, DJ.
Yeah.
And it was particularly nice yesterday, talking of being with your people. It was me, Amy LeMay, Steve, obviously, and Paul from Orbital.
Oh, all right. Okay,
I've never met.
Wow.
But I'm about to be very distracted, because look, they did it. They cut down the hairy oak. Even though loads of people said, please don't.
Ooh.
I don't know.
Oh, yeah, some more.
I don't know the whole story, but
people were camping
sake,
in that tree, weren't they?
If a whole bunch of people say, please don't cut down this tree, I'd really like to know why they had to do it. I'm sure maybe someone will get in touch and say, no, there's a very good reason, it was a danger to life. But you just feel like it's going to be someone with a form saying, well, it's a government decision, and the decision is final.
I mean, they're heavily pruning the Parkland Walk, aren't they?
All the time.
But
they did it. It's gone. That's really annoying. Sorry we didn't come down, although I'm sure it wouldn't have helped. Damn it.
Yeah.
R.I.P. Hairy Oak.
Mm.
Not good.
Yeah.
Surely they could have moved it.
Yeah. Yeah,
I've moved a couple of hairy oaks in my time.
That's sad.
That's not too complicated a job. So, just a nice crew. I know Amy LeMay. I say me and Steve go way back. I never met Paul from Orbital, and frankly, quite a big fan.
Yeah, of course.
I was ready to absolutely fan up
bit
on
of
him.
Bit of gushing going on with her.
Yeah, so what was quite lucky is that obviously he's a really nice, easygoing guy, but also just so much in common. We just immediately, Amy asked him about running, and he said, oh, you run? He got into running in lockdown.
Right.
And I hadn't really done it before.
Yeah.
And he said, I was running in lockdown listening to podcasts. And I was like, I was running in lockdown listening to you!
Yeah.
Because Orbital is a really key chapter in my book. It's the chapter's about running. It's about Orbital.
Yeah.
And about running the South Sea Park Run in 2019. So it's like a snapshot of pre-lockdown life.
Yeah.
And tying in with this whole what we used to dance to, what we now run to. You know what I mean?
Yes. This, the cycle of it all.
Yeah, and the connections from the 90s to the turn of the 2020s, which of course was a very strange time indeed. And it was, it's late on in the book because the book's in chronological order, but it was, it's one of the first stories I wrote. So anyway, so it was lovely to meet him and then find that perhaps unsurprisingly, even apart from anything else, even though to me he's a pop star from my youth, he is of course pretty much the same age. He's only a couple of years older than me, 1990, but
yeah,
that makes all the difference. But yeah, and talking about living in London, living in Brighton.
What in common, I think.
Electronic music.
Yeah.
Doing yoga with Adrienne. You know. So, and it was kind of like, it was like a surreal, accidental, yet completely true, drinking in pubs with all your old mates, you know?
Yeah, that's nice, isn't
that's,
it?
That's when you not know just you're... on the radio, but because we went to the pub afterwards and drank.
But that's when you know you're in the right environment, isn't it?
Yeah. Exactly, you land with people.
No, that sounds good. I mean, so are you good. Getting more into music? Because is there any sort of kids crossover as well? Do your kids turn you?
Absolutely.
Flip the trip.
Yeah, and it's so interesting.
20 new bangers.
Do your kids love music or anything?
Oh, yeah, no, they really like it. But
are they very different to each other?
They just like all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I'll find them, they're really into, like, house and stuff, but then I'll find them at 3 a.m. listening to Ed Sheeran with a mate, you know, and it's all a bit embarrassing.
Yeah.
But not to me,
it's
to them.
Good, yeah, you know? No, the thing about it is, I think, you know, if you're into it, that's great, but also the nature of contemporary music is such, you know, people can get really excited about a contemporary band, but it's a bit like the way you don't get much water cooler culture with TV.
Yeah.
Is that all music is available to all the youngsters all the time.
Yes.
The disadvantage is it's very hard for them to have a band of a generation, like,
right, yeah,
like different generations might have had, I don't know, Oasis or punk.
Yeah. Yeah.
But on the other hand, I was saying the other day I came downstairs and could hear my daughter's voice in the bathroom. She's singing a Cocteau Twins song from 1990.
Oh, I like it.
I was like, I don't even know she knew that song, let alone knew the words. I mean, what are the words?
Yeah.
I don't know the
words.
No,
that's great.
Yeah, so they're very different, the kids. They, Daisy's all over it, all different things and very, not completely, it's really interesting and diverse. A lot of contemporary, but a lot of kind of older indie as well, you know.
Yeah.
And then Bud, I mean, he's, you know, he writes orchestral music, plays the oboe. He's really into film scores and just, you know, he loves Tchaikovsky.
Right.
But,
yeah.
So
just your average 18-year-old.
Yeah, just like all the other ones. Yeah. Yeah. But he
listens to Tchaikovsky playing chess.
He knows. Yeah. Just, you know, they're all doing it.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
But he is. He recommends. Listeners to the Running Church Radio, I will know.
Right.
He often recommends songs, and they tend to be like, like soundtrack stuff.
Yeah.
Which can be so exciting. And but he loves a bit of rock and roll as well, you know.
Yeah.
He came home the other day. He's listening to, what's it called, Saturday Night's All Right for Fighting.
Yeah.
And he sent me a song this week by a contemporary band that absolutely rocks. So I think, frankly, they're just so...
Yeah, eclectic.
Eclectic and three-dimensional. Yeah. It's wonderful. It makes me happy. And like you say, inspires me. I do think, even as someone who absolutely loves music, looking back now, I came over a bump. You know, my 30s when I could have drifted into just really listening only to the records I already had
in
my life to that point, you know?
Yes, yeah.
It's harder when you're older to listen to new music.
Yeah, to keep it going,
I think I've developed the skill again, but it was rusty. And then, so exciting.
Yeah, it's sort of, I get lost in sort of chat stuff, podcast stuff. But yeah, I listen to a lot of classic or capital extra as I race back into town.
Yes.
You know, so...
Oh, nothing but a good bit of friendly song choice late at night. Yeah. I used to have such a thing. When I came along the A40, I'd always go to Magic.
Yeah.
And just, you know, you kind of see the BT Tower, which I nearly called the Post Office Tower just then, which is telling.
Just to take you home. Just Magic take you in.
If you leave me now, take away the biggest part of me.
And a rainy night in Georgia.
I think that's nearly all their records.
Yeah, yeah. That's it. The rotation's not that strong on Magic. But it's smooth, is it?
Great shout out to our friend Tom Price. We love Magic.
Loving Tom. Oh. Loving Tom, friend of the show.
So, yeah. That was what I was doing yesterday.
That's nice,
it was an exciting day yesterday because we were shaping up for the birthday.
Yeah.
I went to the crazy Diagon Alley shop where the oboe, to pick up the oboe.
Yeah.
And then when I went out, I saw this guy, a homeless guy who was walking with a stick in traffic.
Right.
He was walking across the road at King's Cross. I thought, oh, I hope this guy's okay. And he walked straight to me.
Yeah.
He said, all right, mate. Where's he from? Yeah. Hello there, fella. Nice top. And he had a top with writing on it. And he told me a joke based on what it said on my top.
Oh, nice.
And then I said, oh, okay. I'm wearing a Joy Division t-shirt as well. He told me a joke based on that.
Right.
And he told me he just hopped along the noisy stick. Oh, very friendly, smiley face fella. A lot of energy there. And
was this Jason Byrne?
It was Jason Byrne's dad. And he told me, I was reminded, I've told you this before, Bob Monkhouse's story about Frank Carson.
Right.
And he said, I saw Frank Carson on the London Underground. I was on the up elevator. He was on the down elevator. I said hello, and he told me 8 jokes.
Right.
Anyway,
comics, aren't
it was like that. He just told me half a dozen jokes on the way to the.
And he was just a bloke.
He was lovely. Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, obviously,
just a bloke standing in front of a guy. Asking him to give him some money for jokes.
Money. Oh, what's happened, Paul? What have I done? This is bad. I'm going to die.
Oh, my God, there's a risk.
He's gone on top
of
the wall.
Rob scaled the wall.
I didn't realise it got this high so quickly. I don't know what... I was thinking, look up at me and we'll give an idea of exactly how high I am. Oh! It wasn't the bullet.
Really
it was
high.
Beauty killed the beast.
Really high.
So
that sounds good.
Yeah, so I gave him a big...
It's always good, a little interaction
fistful
like
of cash.
Yeah.
And then I got to central London, crossing the road, and a guy in a suit with silver hair said, that's a famous person, it's Rob Deering. I don't know who he was. I felt like he was taking the mickey. I mean, anyway, what I'm saying is that does happen.
Yeah. Well, you've had a nice little moment.
It was all... I'm glad we're doing this today, because I feel like all of life is currently heightened.
Yes. It doesn't take much to... cheer one up, does it?
No.
I'm still amazed by how vacuous I can be in terms of just getting cheered up. It's like yesterday was quite a tough day, really, around the house. Rudy, bless him, is slightly in the doldrums because he's left university and he's in that freelance creative world.
Yeah.
It's hard to establish yourself. And
yeah.
Self-doubt and stuff and...
just time to think about it.
Too much time. Too much time to think.
Yeah.
And it's and it can drag you down, is it? Because obviously you're so involved with your kids.
Yes.
And so that was quite challenging, you know.
Yeah.
And then Manchester United beat Barcelona.
Yeah.
And I have a great gig. And everything's good again. Isn't it? Do you know what I mean?
But it is.
It's funny, isn't it, though? How
no,
you think you're some kind of spiritual kind of...
I just think
equanimity's been established.
I think it's so fair enough as well. I think there's a real tricksterish a facet to negative emotions.
Right.
Which is that they will always pretend to you that this is just how it is.
That's interesting.
And that's how you always feel, you know.
Yes, that's interesting.
It's a bit like politicians.
Yeah.
The way they always say, well, this has to happen, there's no other way. It's like, that's because you decided that. That's not...
Yes, yeah, yeah.
There's always different ways to do things.
Yeah.
You could fund the NHS.
Yes. Yeah.
You could. Yeah. It's not we can't or we mustn't or there's no way that can happen. It's we've decided not to. But yeah, I got political there. But it's that same energy when you're feeling low. You just think, well, this is it. I mean, not.
Yes, this is
not an emotion.
This is my state. This
a is a natural response to life.
I finally reached reality, and this is it.
But that's the magic of running. Is, in a way, it's lovely to do a gig or get recognised in the street, and that will give you a hit.
Yeah.
But the nice thing about running is that sense of equanimity.
Yeah.
Yeah, it can really give you joy. But I find it just...
steady the ship.
It just steadies the ship, exactly. Yeah, yeah. It puts you at one remove from all those highs and lows.
Yeah.
It just reminds you that whatever you happen, whatever you think, whatever your blooming head is saying, your body is just moving on through the universe.
And also,
same old, same old.
And also that thing of like... I think just being aware of how you talk to yourself about yourself. It's like... You know, I spend a lot of time in my life for various reasons giving people little pep talks and putting things in perspective and reframing things, but I do it for loads of people.
Yes.
And it's just like, what would you say to me? What would you say to you?
Yeah, that's right.
You know what I mean? Instead of like, oh, whatever, here we are, this is how it is, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Just like, you know.
Get that distance.
Just look after yourself a little bit, you know. Yeah. Treat yourself with the same respect that you do other people.
Taste your own medicine, as it were, but in a good way.
Yeah. No, I'll give you a taste of your own medicine. I didn't mean that.
Oh, yeah, is that what you want? And we have a look in here. I was going to look into the pond for tadpoles, and there wasn't even really a pond.
Oh, my God.
That's not a happy
pond.
That's
grubby,
isn't it?
It's a muddy puddle.
It is a muddy puddle.
I love that song.
Are we walking?
It is a muddy puddle.
Oh, let's walk up the hills.
Yeah, I can happily walk. My calf's a little bit strainy.
That's a yapping dog, isn't it?
That dog
it's nice this
bark.
Park and walk and Highbury. Let's see what Highbury Woods is like.
Does seem to be a route, doesn't there?
Yeah,
it does seem to take you quite naturally to. This is Queenswoods, we're in now.
Queenswoods.
Yes. We've never been here before every week of our lives.
No, thank you. We should come here. You should do this. That's another feeling, actually.
It's always the same barking dog.
Talking of my son, although to be fair, I think he's really cracked this. This is something from a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And it's not him. He's just the lens into it.
Yeah.
I know I do this a lot.
Yeah.
And I think people all do this. Is when you experience something... when you really do try something new and do something with other people, there's always this temptation that... He's like, good, we've had a look at this, and what we should do is we'll come back and do it.
Right.
And you say, and we in our family, we laugh at it, we joke, we say, we should do this.
Yeah.
Because it's a way of not quite
recognising
the moment. You know, what you have to then say to yourself is, we are doing
it. We're doing it, yes.
And we're enjoying it.
Yeah.
But it's so tempting to think, this is good. I'll come back another day and I'll really enjoy this.
Yeah.
It's amazing how easy as a human
let's just stay in it.
To think that way, to go to the South Bank and watch a film at the BFI and think, I'd like to be the kind of person who does that.
This.
It's like, there you are! It's happening now!
Yeah.
Running's like that as well. It's basically a sophisticated angle on imposter syndrome, isn't it?
Yeah. Yes.
But I think maybe as we get older...
I think Dear Rudy's in that thing where he's really good, feels really home with his mates, who are like B-boys, sort of street dance kids.
Yeah.
And that's quite a specific social niche, you know.
Yeah.
He's very, very good at dancing and editing.
Yes.
And he's not that good at meeting people who he doesn't know and impressing them with his social skills.
Yeah.
He's just not... It's just different, you know. He can be very polite and stuff, but he hasn't got that... He didn't go through university. He didn't have that confidence.
Yeah.
It's that high ego, low self-esteem thing that a lot of performers get.
Yes, that's right. And the trouble is, as a performer, and this, even though Buddy's completely different, there's something... There are ways people think you're so confident because you've got gregarious or you put yourself out there. And people aren't necessarily... It's not to do with self-assurance. It's to do with who they are and where they're at.
Yeah.
And they can have as much doubt as the next person.
And you can do it. It's like Rudy can, you know, go on a train journey for 200 miles, get out,
sorry,
go
look, to... daffodils. Daffodils in the woods.
You can go to a leisure centre and do a... do a dance battle with people he's never met.
Yeah, and just enjoy it
all day,
like,
and enjoy it and do well, and you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And he can feel extremely confident in that environment, but then you need to help him craft a really simple text message inquiring about a possible job.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah,
it's that thing with your kids, isn't it?
And also, as a grown-up, you want to say, obviously he needs a toolkit for dealing with that. But the complicated thing is also, that's okay.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
He's allowed, because the other thing is that people, funnily enough, she's older. I was just about to say, she's as old as the hills. That's not a polite thing to say.
Right.
But listening to Joan Bakewell the other day.
Yes.
And she was talking about, you know, coming from a kind of quite fractured or almost non-existent background, you know what
I mean?
She came from a sort of unhappy situation. She learned to speak, took elocution lessons, you know what I mean? So she's quite kind of rootless.
Yeah.
And then when she came into, I don't know, London, the BBC, whatever, she's like, everyone was so confident except me. And it's so funny to hear her saying that in her, what, late 80s?
Someone seemed so confident, yeah.
And it's like, I'm sure there's some truth in that, but of course everyone else seems confident.
Yeah.
Because you can't see their doubts.
Yes. I'm trying to get that message to them as well.
Yeah, because
people haven't got it together like you think they have, you know. Everyone's bluffing to a certain extent.
Yeah, particularly in these days of social media. It's amazing how successful we can... I mean, we know comedians who, you know, you see them online and you think, oh, here we go again. They're amazing.
Yeah.
And then you see them at gigs and they're like, oh, I'm miserable.
Or you see them on telly and you find yourself shouting at the screen going, Chancer! Chancer!
Yeah, that's a different...
Nothing but a Chancer!
That's a different message,
I think. Scoundrel! Dad, step away from the telly. Oh, you're ridiculous!
He's broken the telly.
Yeah, you just want to, you know, he's sort of, he's like, am I going to be able to ever afford to leave the house and get all this? You just want to be able to say, tell him, it's going to be okay.
It's going to be okay.
It's going to be okay. And they also, to a certain extent, all sort of fetishize me and Ra to a certain extent in terms of the relationship or They don't, and that's because they haven't seen the tough times. They haven't seen the times when the relationship's been hanging by your thread.
That's right.
Do you know what I mean? They've seen us round, but they've seen a lot of good years. Do you know what I mean?
They
think this is how it started. Yeah.
And again, it's a natural human thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think when people are having trouble, I think we talked about this in the Q&A, but to come back to is that when you feel like you're not loving your running, and you think back to how great it was before, you're probably slightly romanticising how great it was before. Not even romanticising, it's just that we naturally edit out the bumps and to keep the good stuff.
Yeah.
And which is great, that's a natural way to be. But you can't then use that as a negative against yourself.
Absolutely not.
I keep stopping getting pictures of flowers.
It's wonderful, it's to be done.
We said it's winter.
They're snowdrops, are they? Snowbells.
Snowdrops,
bird
exactly.
Bells.
And there's no leaves on the trees and it's cold and grey, but they're... The flowers are telling a story of spring. These are gorgeous. Really nice. And the other thing as a parent is feeling simultaneously like you have to offer that and that they can't take it from you, and you get that, you know what I mean?
Yes.
You tell them a simple thing like your friends are probably have doubts too.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah. Shut up.
Yeah,
you just have to repeat it, and then sooner or later they're going to see that for themselves and they'll go, now I get it. You know, but you can't get it till you get it. That's true of all.
And also, they don't even know what's happening within their own family. Like, other, you know, like the brothers and sisters have problems that they don't even know about because there's just always stuff going on, you know, I don't know, it's just being young, isn't it? It's just being young. And he's like, yeah, but when you were my age, you were this, that. It's like... Don't think like that.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. This is so nice, difficult. Isn't it?
Yeah,
we've got all kinds of, you know, I don't know, internal pathways that I think we've evolved to help us develop and become who we want to be. But it's so easy to just turn them against ourselves.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
If you can't be your own best friend, then, you know.
Yeah.
You just got to try and be good to yourself. And it takes loads of work.
He was saying... do you think I've put myself in a box because I want to do dancing and editing? I was like, no.
Yeah, no.
You just got to be determined and hustle and have faith in it. And it's just,
yeah.
You know.
It's great to find
it's great to know what you want to do at your age.
Philip Larkin said, there's two things in life. that are equally difficult. Finding what you want to do and doing it.
Yeah.
So if you know what you want to do,
yeah,
you're halfway there.
Yeah.
But of course, the second half is a nightmare.
I think if he was in this generation, he'd also say finding somewhere to live. I think that's a big thing about this generation in terms of uncertainty. We never, I don't know about you when you were establishing yourself, but I never considered, I just assumed that I'd rent somewhere and find somewhere to live.
Yes.
I didn't think about it.
No. And you didn't have to because that happened.
Yeah, because it happened and this generation seemed to be having to think about that.
Yeah.
And I think that's pretty massive, you know.
Yeah, completely.
Where am I going to be? So that's a tricky one.
Yeah. It is because, you know, the kind of thing, talking about things, life choices and stuff, you want to be here in London.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on.
Yeah.
Although, having said that, maybe, I don't know. We shall see.
Yeah.
I have got here, do you see this sticking out of my pocket?
Yes.
These are last few questions from the Q&A.
All right, okay, well, we can do some of that. We can do some of those.
Now, you see, I looked through and I found the ones we hadn't answered. Quite interesting, you know, new angles.
Yeah.
And then there was one good question that came in after I'd collated.
Right.
So, Q&A part three?
Yeah, we can do that, yeah.
There's only three.
Questions and answers.
Questions.
Answering your questions.
Q&As.
Q&A part three.
Another 3 days. Q's and A's.
Q&A part three.
Here we go. Look, so, there's one.
Here we go. It's the morning of a marathon, but you realise you've forgotten your running kit.
Oh, no.
Fortunately, the local fancy dress shop is open.
Thank goodness.
What outfit are you buying? Craig Moran.
Thanks, Craig. Good question. Great question.
Good question, Craig.
You know...
Good question.
I think...
That I saw and ignored on the day. Because I got no strong feelings about
it. Well, I mean, this is definitely on a platform of... We're two people who would never run in fancy dress. Like, why would that happen? What are you doing?
No.
But having said that, I've got a strange... I do have a bit of a psychological connection with cosplay.
Right.
I think I get it when people do it because... The thing is, I would take it very seriously.
Yes, that's...
I think you'd want it to kind of be your actual clothes.
I think you probably would, yeah.
When I first started going on stage...
Can we go down there? Yeah.
Dressed as Father Christmas.
Yes.
And the audience didn't go, hooray! Rob's made the effort. They started going, yeah, so, but
yeah,
funny.
Whatever, yeah.
It made me so grumpy.
It's Christmas, yeah.
And I nearly took it on. I nearly made it my act that everywhere I went, I'd come on dressed as, like, in a classic outfit.
Yes.
I went to buy myself a space suit. And a cowboy outfit.
I'm reminded of one of Peter Kay's first appearances doing stand-up on the telly where he just wore a lion suit and didn't reference it.
Yes, very nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Ashton B wore a lion suit when we did the Roar with Laughter at the Apollo.
Right.
And she said, people are going to love this. And I was like, I've got a Father Christmas story to tell you.
I think you're overestimating our joie de vivre.
But I wanted to get a space suit and take it off bit by bit. You know, you like unscrew the gloves and the
right,
helmet.
Yeah.
And just gradually. I always picture this happening on the stage at the Manchester Comedy Store, doing all my jokes and stuff. And just gradually getting out of this space suit, tidily stacking it up at the back of the stage, normal clothes on underneath.
Yeah, nice.
Just like to get it, to the end of the set. And then just as an afterthought, say, you know, I should do a joke about that.
Yeah. Nice.
But anyway, so the short answer is a superhero.
Yes.
Because I could pretend I was just dressing up and being silly. But actually,
yeah.
I love putting on what's a good structured lycra or equivalent. And going for a run, it makes you feel powerful and strong. So I'd go as Superman or Mr. Incredible.
I'd probably...
Ideally, in as Henry Cavillish, a Justice League... realistic Superman costume as possible.
That's a good answer.
Yeah.
I'd probably go dressed as an Olympic marathon runner.
Nice.
I'd probably try and find some shorts and vest.
Yeah.
Go like those guys doing
118.
Yeah, do go 118.
Yeah, good.
Basically try and ignore the premise of the question as much as possible.
Yeah.
And find a running kit.
Again, you'd commit to it. You know, silky shorts and a singlet.
Yeah.
And then you should actually grow your hair. A big handlebar moustache. Someone should blackmail us or offer a load of money for charity and make us do this. Our discomfort would be part of it.
Really? I don't know why, because I see myself as a fun person. Maybe I'm not, but I'm really not a fan of fancy dress.
Just serious about it.
Yeah.
it's questions of... Oh, it connects to... Sorry, mate. It connects to what we were saying about where one is confident, where one isn't in regard to Rudy. Because, you know, some people need this stuff and we don't need it. And that's why we don't trust it.
Yeah.
Other people look at what we do and think, it terrifies me.
Yeah.
So, you know. Running.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about United Healthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
We might as well run this. Do you want to run that way? And it's up to you.
It's up to you.
Let's run that way. Just back about the way we came here.
Go. So just a little bit more about cosplay. Because I've got no problem with the...
Sure, right. Do you need us to get anything?
Do we need to do anything?
Okay. Take care, man.
No trouble.
Good luck, mate.
That was an eye-opener, is it? You probably couldn't pick up that guy.
That was quite surreal.
It's very strange.
Sort of absurd scenario, wasn't it?
Yeah, the guy...
We alighted from the toilet.
Paul just went to the loo.
Yeah.
And while he was in there, I was waiting, and the guy came in, gave me a big smile. And he went back out, and we came back, and him and his wife were in the woods, and she's lying on the ground, like...
Prone.
And
unconscious,
We thought, you know, is she okay? And he's like, yeah, she's had an epileptic fit, and she's coming out of it, you know. And just what an interesting... You know, he obviously was not worried about it. You could see that she was recovering. She was kind of some
slightly moving ahead. And it has to be said, I don't think I've ever met a guy more calm and indeed good-natured about his wife's epileptic fit.
Yeah, he was...
He was so chilled out, wasn't he?
He was proud of her. He was saying she could stay home and not go for a run.
It's amazing.
And then she wouldn't be in this situation. Instead, she's getting on with her life. And
at one
point, every couple of weeks, something like this happens.
At one point, I did nearly laugh though when he said she's got a lot of get up and go, which was like completely prone
on
the floor. There were certain ironies.
Going was this.
But incredible person, an incredible wife. I mean, it happens he reckoned every 12 days or so.
Yeah,
it's just like something that he can see building up.
Yeah.
At which point they go for a long run.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I notice you've got to this. You've got to take the mickey out of it pretty quick. Defence mechanism.
He seemed pretty...
Yeah, he was pretty jolly.
He seemed ultra-relaxed about it.
Yeah. Which was nice for us, because we were pretty worried.
Well, my mate, one of my best mates gets... epileptic fits.
Yeah.
Can be pretty dangerous if you're in the wrong environment.
Yeah, yeah. It's
you've got to be careful.
It's the
sharp
falling
objects
or the losing
and all
control as much as... Yeah. Gosh, what a thing.
Yeah, that was...
I don't feel like talking about fancy dress anymore.
No, that was...
even though I was going to tell my Boba Fett story.
Undeniably absurd moment.
Yeah.
And he said he'd... there's no point calling an ambulance. He seemed to, he was just going to, they were going to get up and walk home, and and he'd tell her about what had happened in an hour or so.
Clearly part of their day-to-day life.
It must be extremely discombobulating.
Yes. Oh, and he gave me such a friendly smile, but even before we saw what was going on, which is nice because I have to say this slightly sotto voce because of the overtaking, but honestly, even now, lockdown is in some ways a distant memory. I still feel like a lot of these older people walking dogs in Highgate Woods specifically.
There's a bit of...
They hate me.
You're still getting a bit of a bit of vibe off it. Yeah.
I was just standing outside that cafe. Kept smiling at people because I'm standing there because the dogs come and like have a look at you and sniff around your knees and stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm like, hello, mate. Give the owner a big smile. And she looks at me like I murdered her family.
Yeah.
That happens a lot here.
It's reflexive, isn't it? It's sort of... The fear was strong, wasn't it, for some people?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like...
I think it taps in with a workaday, day-to-day disapproval of runners.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Maybe men. Runners.
I mean,
really, runners versus dog walkers, let's not make it another Marmite, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
There's plenty of room for all of us. And on a day with a little bit of rain like today...
Beautiful.
It's just us. It's just dog walkers and runners. It's us. Yeah. Let's be out here together.
We're a long way from the huffers and puffers days.
We're on the exact spot where it happened.
Yeah, we are, yes.
The huffers
and the puffers, that's what I call them. and we joked about it at Wetlands the other day, but it's completely absurd. You can't run around there. I mean, there was groups of school kids just skipping and chatting and laughing, as you'd want it to be.
Yeah.
It's complete nonsense.
It's crazy talk.
Let it go.
Let it go, Paul.
Let it go.
But it is, and I find, like you say, people are... It's interesting because there isn't a pandemic to throw it into focus. I just get a bit sulky sometimes because I feel really guilty about it, but I just don't like it when anyone gives me a dirty look.
Yeah.
I think if you're elderly and you find day-to-day life kind of scary and that leads to you giving me a really evil look, I have to say, on paper, I respect that. I get it.
Yeah.
But in practice, I can't stand it.
Yeah.
I'm a nice guy.
It's unnecessary.
I'm not getting all up in anyone's face. It makes it sound like I'm going around saying, hey, everyone, Rob Deering, hey, yeah, I'm a friendly fellow.
Yeah.
That's not happening, so let's be clear on that. But mainly I need to just get over it, that not all strangers are friends you haven't met yet.
Yeah. Do you know what I like to say?
Some strangers.
I like to say that's
friends.
Their problem, not my problem. That's what I say loudly in their face.
That's
your problem, not my problem.
That's the thing, because we're both so relaxed about it.
Yeah. The fact that I'm breathing into your face at this moment.
Okay.
Is your problem.
Okay.
No, but it's. It was. The height of it was you know.
Pardon me.
3 years ago, whatever, but it drifted into 2021, late 2021, didn't it?
Yeah.
But the sort of little visual triggers and hangovers of those times everywhere, isn't there? There just is, you know, just so.
I was at the BBC the other day and there was a hand dryer that said,
hello, mate.
This hand dryer is not working at the moment because of COVID. I was like,
yeah, it's, wait, time, what? It's time to let that go, mate.
How's that work? What's that?
That excuse has got to go. Questions and answers.
Q&A.
Even though it's COVID, we're still doing the Q&As. What would your best piece of advice be for while at Run to the Stones?
Stones. What would your best piece of advice be for while at Race to the Stones?
While at Race to the Stones.
It
would
be
my
first
ultra. Emma Percy.
Thanks, Emma. Good question.
I should obviously go first.
Yeah.
Very little training. Incredible optimism. I won't bother with all that feeding on the run baloney.
I mean,
just rock up with a dream in your heart and a song to your step,
and before too long, blood in your urine.
Yeah. set off too fast because you're feeling good.
Yeah,
and then aim for a hot day, especially if it's a hot day.
Yeah. To be fair, I think on a cold day, I don't think you'd have run like a dream on a cold day, do you?
No, I think it would have been a bit different, but no, you're right. So maybe you should take this one.
Oh, okay.
All the preparation.
But in all seriousness, I think that's the lesson. Oh.
Thank you. Sorry about that.
Thanks very much.
See, they're great.
I feel guilty because they were nice.
Oh, they're great. But you know why? They fancied us. Really fancied
us. No, it's because we're in Queenswood. Not
they're wolf whistling. They're wolf whistling right
Stop
now.
Stop it.
They're chasing us.
I'm not affiliated with him. He says just as if
I'm not affiliated with him.
So, yeah, actually, from this distance, the lesson you can take from both of us is preparedness is key.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that runs, for me, that runs right to the very core of the thing. It is just, it's, and there's a, the concept kind of applies to anything big and long and new, like a marathon or whatever. It's basically, it's going to take you by surprise at some level, or even if it doesn't take you by surprise, you're going to go to a place you've never been to.
Yeah.
So.
Is it in Wiltshire?
Yeah, I've never been to Wiltshire.
Yeah.
I'm talking metaphorically.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, my God. But so you need to absolutely reduce the possibility, reduce the unknowns.
Yes.
As far down as you possibly can, so that when the unknown actually arrives, you can think, well, I was pretty much ready for this.
It is like that. It is like there's some things you know, there's some things you don't know, there's some things you don't know, you don't know.
Yes, yes.
It is like that.
That's key. And I think my imposter syndrome really helped. Because when it comes down to it, I did have a suitable fitness for the Race of the Stones, and doing it was well within my power. But I did not assume that that was the case. Quite the opposite.
Yeah.
I thought, I'm going to have to find a way of surviving this ridiculous thing.
Yeah.
And then it gets very subtle, because I'm reading up on training. Yes, do the training, get the miles in. The most key thing for doing the weekender was long runs on consecutive days.
Yeah.
Which is, I did twice in the run-up. And which is fantastic for my experience
sort of
and for my confidence.
Two 20s.
I think I did two 16s in 48 hours.
Yeah.
And then two 20s or 20-ishes. Yeah, and also, I worked towards those. They were quite late on. And I did them on, I ran in places that were going to be similar underfoot.
Right.
I ate and drank things that I was going to be eating and drinking in the day.
You really prepared.
I did.
You really
And the thing is, it's all psychological, yeah?
Yeah?
So you find out, I did that. I remember doing that long run and eating something. I ate some kind of nutty cereal bar. I thought, I can't have that. It's too claggy and dry.
Yeah.
And I had a malt loaf. And thought, oh, yeah, that works. And that's all useful stuff.
Yeah.
But much more subconsciously, you just come back from that thinking, you've done that. You know,
yes.
you've got an experience you can lean back on, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And that is absolutely huge. And I actually sent to Emma this, Emily Hallett's blog. Do you remember her friend Emily wrote a blog when she did the Race of the Stones?
Yes, yes.
And it's a good blog. I think the thing about it is, it's good that she wrote it and it's well written, because it could be anyone's experience. If you've got a friend who's done it, talk to them. But get them to give you a blow by blow, because her blog was just such a useful physical, practical, emotional map of the journey.
Yeah.
And it did exactly what we're talking about. There's big bits. For one example, this wasn't the only bit. Well, there's a couple of things. The first, and this is all on the second day, so this will be exciting for you to find out. The first rest stop on the second day is a detour.
Right.
You have to turn left and run about a kilometre.
Ooh.
And then go and get your cola and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And then run back. And it's all fine, because that's part
it's
of
all
the,
factored into
you
this.
You won't have run far enough if you don't do that.
But it takes away the journey aspect.
Yeah, so you've got to, if someone just introduces that concept to you at 60 kilometres.
It's going to smart.
What am I doing going over there?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But if someone's told you it's going to happen, it's just not a problem. It just negates it.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of energy you're looking for. You're looking to negate the negatives.
Yeah.
And accentuate the positives and eliminate the negatives.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And don't mess with missing in between. And the other one is around three quarters of the way in after the, once you've gone to the 75K rest stop, you basically start climbing after it. It's a long hill.
Yeah.
It goes up on a big road, first big road you've seen in a while. And then there's a complicated bit where you come off the road and then a field and then back off the path and across the road and then up the hill.
Yeah.
All of this is absolutely fine.
Thank you.
Thanks. But if you're not ready for it, you could panic about it.
You're going to get confused.
But because Emily had told me about it, you're kind of reducing that down to nothing.
No, that's great.
And what I'm saying is, then something else might happen. that you think, oh, I wasn't ready for this. I wasn't ready, for example, for how hard, underfoot, flat, dry, chalky mud is.
Yes.
You think that would be the easy bit, but it isn't. It's bumpy, it's
yes.
unpredictable.
Yeah.
You know, so, but I'd reduced so many things down to not being a problem that I had the space to deal with that. So be as prepared, Ed,
yeah.
as you possibly can, and as psychologically as you possibly can. Get, work out what your own map of the event is and live it. But the interesting thing is, that's not really what she asked. She said, what would be my best advice for while you're there?
Right.
So what do you think about that? I mean, use it, you know. They look after you incredibly well.
Yes, they do, yes.
It's wonderful that your tent has been put up for you. You can have a shower.
The meals are great,
aren't they? You can eat and drink. So just follow your instincts. Be in the moment and enjoy it.
Yeah.
I'd say try really hard if you're doing the weekender to take the break.
Yeah.
Think, yay, I ran 50 kilometres and then don't think about it again, rather than spending the evening thinking, oh dear God, I've got to carry on.
Did you do the stretching and the yoga and stuff?
Didn't do any of that.
Right.
No, I just took the night off.
Yeah.
For me, the only sort of technical thing I think that might be interesting to others is how I would only ever eat for fuel, and I find it quite hard to eat or drink anything sugary when I'm running.
Yeah.
But I found fueling in between great.
Yeah.
I basically had three...
You had two big plates, didn't you? At least.
Yeah, I had two or three big dinners.
Yeah.
And two breakfasts, all
yeah.
made of mashed potatoes. And
yeah.
vegan sausages. And they went down smooth, and I had no trouble digesting them or anything.
Nice.
But like, it was like just following your feelings, you know.
Yeah.
I also had a really nice shower, got into normal clothes, had a drink,
yeah.
sat with friends.
Yeah, it was lovely.
It was like a holiday.
Yeah.
And which is preposterous,
yeah.
you know, because it was still tied in, and it is just that moment in the middle of the event. But I think that all these things come to just working really hard at being in the moment.
Yeah.
If any, that is the thing, and I'm sure, like we were saying about parenting earlier on, people who'd done ultras when we hadn't must have been trying to tell us this. It's just you've got to be in the moment. Do and feel what's best
yeah.
at any given time. And most of the time, it's very clear. You know, you get to a hill, you walk up the hill, you see a nice view, you look at the nice view, you get to a food station,
you have some
food and drink.
Yeah.
You know, just follow the path and you'll get to the end of it.
Yeah.
It's eminently doable. It's totally within your power.
And don't assume that running the first day is good training for running the second day.
Yeah.
If you haven't done any training.
No.
Don't assume that the event itself will make you fit enough for the event itself.
No, and I think there is some logic in that.
There's a kind of magical thinking.
If we were running 1,000 miles,
yeah,
then there's almost no point in training because you're going to, you know, just start and take it easy. But, yeah, for this, no, it's
yeah.
intense.
Yeah.
But equally, it is the first day is a really good map of the second day. But again, Emily warned me about that. She said about doing the weekender that because everyone starts off and a lot of people are doing it all in one day,
yeah.
there's this kind of huge excitement and this blast of people. And then on the second day, you just head off and
yeah.
there's a lot less people there.
More private.
You're deep in the country.
Yes.
And I think that for her was like, oh, this is a bit of a downer. This feels like Boxing Day, you know.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
because she'd said that, I actually... It just
You're
turned into a massive
it, yeah.
positive. That morning was such a quiet. It was ridiculous. It was running yeah. up through the blooming chalky hills and listening to skylarks. And just, I mean, it was like...
Felt wonderful.
It was intense. But it,
yeah.
again, because I was ready for it, because I knew what was going to happen and when. So there you go. That is the answer to that. And we get to our final question. There's two questions here.
Yeah.
But they are... essentially the same one. And who's your dream guest to go for a run with? Ask Glenn Stone.
Yeah.
And Rachel McMahon says, who would you most like to have a chatty run with? And here's the clincher.
Yeah.
You can't choose each other.
Oh, well, forget it.
Oh, God, why bother?
Not going to bother.
It's Paul.
If you're going to make it impossible, what's
please
the point?
Please can I have Paul yeah. Yeah. Tonkinson,
yeah.
the 26.2 Miles to Happiness author and comedian. Because he's got such a funny face.
I will... Yeah, I think we were asked this the last one. I think my answer was probably the same. I would still like to go for a run with Camille Herron.
Yeah, absolutely. You saw what she did the other day.
She's just incredible, isn't she?
She's absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
And also it's amazing when you're a bit like me with the guy from Orbital. Is it because what she does is quite specialised? She's not a global superstar.
Yeah.
So I only said, well done, Camille, you're an absolute inspiration. You've got another world record.
Yes.
Or, you know, a couple of world records at once.
Yes, yeah.
She said, thanks.
Yeah. Yeah. It just seems to be what happens while she's doing what she's doing kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
She's just sort of mopping everything up whilst just living the life that she wants to live.
Yeah.
On the brief occasion that we did meet her, she was so wonderful and chilled and everything you'd want, you know.
Yeah, just
yeah, she was
relaxed
great.
And happy. She's
really
a,
good fun.
She's, you know, it's a bit of an overused one, she's an inspiration, but she's an inspiration.
Yes, yes, yeah.
I, again, you're right, we've answered this question before and it's probably the same one, but I would love to go for a run with Johnny Marr.
Yes.
Because he taught me the guitar
right.
from listening to Smith's records.
Yeah.
As getting older, you know, I was just as besotted as a teenager with Morrissey as every other Smiths fan. And it's like one of the great lessons in life, growing up and being disappointed with Morrissey and realising that Johnny Marr is brilliant. Partly because he's just plain brilliant. Partly because he's a much more
yeah.
relaxed, chill kind of biddable guy, but that's just because he's a nice person. He's got fantastic beliefs and skills and incredible history, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
He just is happier being part of humanity and just playing his guitar. He loves to meditate, although he doesn't say he's no, that's right. He does his yoga and meditation, but he says, I'm not very good at
right.
meditating. I like to run, which kind of.
Yeah, I get that.
I feel that.
Nice on that.
And, yeah, I just like to. They say don't meet your heroes, and I think having
you'd
assessed
like to make
my
the exception
heroes,
of him, yeah.
Yeah, I'd like to run the risk with Johnny Marr. Because he just seems so lovely. When I played his, he did a live version of There Is a Light That Never Goes Out. Do you know the song? You remember the song?
Yes.
And if a double decker bus, and it's him singing
to
it.
To die by your side.
And at a live gig in Manchester, and everyone's singing along. He's running, listening to it, and I had a little cry.
Yeah.
And at the end says, he says, thank you, Manchester, my darlings. You're wonderful. I'm like, ah, you're wonderful, Johnny.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, that
Johnny
would be
and Camille.
Great. Johnny and Camille.
Anyone else?
Kissing in a tree.
K-I-S-S-I-N-G. Tom, what would it be like to meet Tom Cruise? Tom yeah. Running. What's he really like? The thing is, he's probably just really like his like, isn't he? Like the world's best Tom Cruise.
Yeah. I'd like to run with Tom Price, Magic FM DJ.
Yeah.
That would be great. There, yeah, he's yeah. on the wish list.
Where
yeah.
Ronan?
Yeah.
I'd rather run with Ronan Keating.
Yeah.
Adrienne Mishler.
Yeah.
I'd like to kind of talk with her about how yoga and running, how it all works. You know.
What a lovely little run.
She just seems really nice.
And the Q&As have been a really nice little idea, because it happened because you had an enormo session on Monday.
Yes.
Are yeah. you part running tomorrow?
Yeah, yeah, I'll get down to the park on tomorrow. I've been tired. I've totally felt that 20 with the hill reps in it.
Yeah.
I've been tired.
As you would.
I had this run.
What with being human and all.
Oh, yeah. I ran 6-7 miles on Wednesday.
Yeah.
And it was really funny talking about all the psychology of it and everything, because it was well within my power, you know. I ran really slow. I didn't particularly hurt myself on Monday.
Right.
It was fine, you know.
Yeah.
But, oh, like for the first time in months, I was just not particularly into it.
Right.
I wasn't even badly not into it.
Just a bit empty.
I just ran along
just
going,
a bit empty.
Don't really like this song.
Right.
Oh, I'd like to get to where I'm going and eat a meal.
Yeah.
Right. It's just nice to realise that you never feel, I hardly ever feel like that.
Yeah.
And that message to anyone training is try and take ownership over it when you get to the high mileage and the running starts to, you know, you start to, it's where the, you start to bicker with running.
Yes.
You start
yeah.
to fall out. You know, if running's the love of your life, you put this pressure on it and you start to fall out with it a little bit. That's good. You're just testing a strong relationship.
Yeah.
Everything's going to be fine.
I think that is, I think that's really interesting actually, because I'm at this stage where, for some reason, whatever reason, I don't really want to race at the moment.
Yeah.
But I'm still really enjoying my running.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And when you talk about Race to the Stones and stuff, I feel still curious about doing those things
yeah.
a bit better. But it's almost like I've got to separate myself from the old version of me as a competitive runner.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
To enjoy
yeah.
those and just experience them in a different way, you know.
Yeah. That's interesting. That's the first time I ever thought of that you could go back and do the race.
Yeah. Well, I do think about it when we talk about it, because it's not a macho unfinished business.
No, no.
I told you before and I'll told you again. All my critics crawl. It's not that,
Abraham. Definitely not that.
It's not that. It's more like...
But it's interesting.
I really enjoyed the atmosphere.
And you really have to make sure that it's not that.
Yeah,
that's
totally.
The difficult thing about it, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. It's in my hands. But there's a curiosity about setting off more on my own on the second day and what that would feel like. And
it's funny.
Maybe you don't always need a massive why.
No.
That's the question I've got. So
that's
what's going to
be interesting.
Maybe it doesn't have to be that, not melodramatic, but the more... Just to run from a different, slightly different position, you know.
Yes.
Yeah. Totally take it out of the race sphere.
Yeah, that's right. It is. It sounds. It's a great name, Racers, though. It's no problem. But it is, when you see people doing it, it's just... You can't say it's a getting from A to the B to the Stones. It doesn't sound as exciting.
No.
But that's what it's all about,
isn't it?
That
feels like what it is, yeah.
Yeah. Just, what a fantastic thing it was. I do love going back to it because the memories are so vivid.
You had a really meaningful time there. And I
think also it took the rest of the year to get over it. So from here, it's just a happy memory.
Yeah.
Whereas looking back from October, and it's to do with fitness.
Yeah.
You know, looking back from November, December, I was like, oh, I was fit then. Mm. It's all lost. It's all gone now. But now I'm training again and feeling strong. It just feels nice. But it does feel like it's in the past.
Yes, yeah.
Someone said there was a question I didn't bring, but it was about, it said... Well, I should get into this because I was a bit miffed, I'll be honest, because it said, Rob, do you think you're going to find the pleasure of running, just running for running's sake? And I don't think that I've ever been lacking that. I don't know. I don't really understand the question.
I don't quite know where that comes from.
I don't know. Maybe it's just the impression that's been formed because I've been talking about doing stuff a lot, but I really do. I'm a happy runner first and foremost,
people,
and I loved it
project.
For years before you and I started talking,
yes.
let alone marathons
yeah.
and things. And I think that I'm quite good at, they just give shape to your running.
Yes. Yeah,
they tip you forward
into
thinking about
yeah.
running in the future rather than running in the past.
Yeah.
Maybe it's to do with the fact that some people I know, when I run listening to music, they think, he's not doing it properly. But again, I've just got a different brain to you.
It's just different.
The music's going to be there one way or the other.
People have different ways in, don't they? People run for a variety of different reasons.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, someone who doesn't enjoy running won't run as much as you do.
That's true. I certainly wouldn't. I'm not.
Someone who doesn't enjoy
that
running won't do 20 miles on a Monday.
But
with
then,
two
sessions that's a really interesting thing because I honestly get this now. And when you say that, that's given me an in because I look back down the years. I look at when I was younger playing actual games, like we're talking board games and stuff like that. People say, "Oh God, Rob, you're so competitive," and I'd like, "Oh wow, okay." Yeah, I realise that I am.
Yeah.
But it's
yeah.
really just, it's that thing we were talking about at the Q&A, that we just don't do anything by halves.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
if
yeah.
I'm going to do something, I just go all in.
Yeah.
But I'm
not
genuinely not competitive with anyone else.
Yes.
It's
yeah.
just
I think
me
that's
going,
what people...
I mean, if I play a game and I get all excited and go, I'm winning, I would also go, you're winning.
Mm,
it's just, I'm just leaning into it, you know.
Yes, that's always my... Think about it. That's a great thing about running. So you compete or don't compete on your own level, don't you? You get, you know, it's like if you want to take something seriously, you can get loads out of that. And if you want to run it for a pure experiential thing, you can get loads out of that as well.
Yeah, it's the other side of the fact that it's for everyone. We talk about this. Yeah. I mean, you know, we believe this. You know, we always get on shaky ground when we talk about our, you know, if we have done, I don't know, good running or a fast time, whatever. It sounds like we're trying to win at running. But everyone who runs is a runner, and it's your run, and you do what you like. But the thing about that is that people can use that to mean don't take it too seriously, don't run too fast.
Yeah.
Like, that's not fair because that's...
You can do what you want.
That is also a run.
Absolutely.
The other day,
Sophie
Raworth did a post about doing a really fast park run and still not being quite the fastest of her in her age category. And
right.
Going, wow. And someone came on and did the classic, said, park run's not a race. It's like, no, park run, it's true to say that park run is not a race, but what the more accurate thing to say is it doesn't have to be a race.
It can be whatever
it can
want.
Totally be a race.
Yeah.
There's always going to be someone racing at park run.
There's someone doing
there's
it.
There's always going to be someone walking
there's
at park run.
There's people doing it in 15 and a half minutes and people doing it in 40 minutes.
And that's beautiful.
Absolutely fine.
That's what it's for. But you have to allow...
Get over yourself,
you have
bro.
To allow for both ends of it,
yeah,
don't you?
Yeah. He's what... I'm going to say it. It is what it is.
Yeah. Thank goodness someone said it.
It is what it is.
Oh, thank. Now I understand. Do you know, I think I'm probably going to miss my train to Moreton in Marsh. But do you know what I'm going to do, Paul?
Oh, dear.
I'll get the next one.
Oh, wow.
And look, see this blossom on the tree? Spring is springing. With Paul Tomkinson and Rob Deering.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.